Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I too can say it's good to be back here and to worship you with you here. And feels like it's been a long time. It has been. Doing some traveling, going to Pine Creek and then on out to Missouri. The Lord has been good and He has brought us back and we can worship together here this morning. The message of this morning that I feel led to bring is not one that is a new message by any means. In fact, in my what feels to me like a short time of preaching, I've preached on it already. But I wanted to use a little different approach than what I believe I have ever, or it has stood out more to me in the last little bit than what it has in the past, as I evaluated my own life. And where I'm at on it. You can take your Zion's praises and turn to song number 792. I remember this song when was it 2 years ago? I believe we sang it in chorus. And as I pondered this message this morning, I couldn't help but go to this song and just think of these words. Because as I evaluated my own life and my prayer life, am I as close to God as I should be? I remember when we were having chorus, we came to the second verse, and I believe it was Brother Nelson shared about the second phrase there, He talks no other way than through God's Word. And the question on that truth of that, I believe God talks through brethren about us as well. But I wonder if the songwriter wasn't referring to the truth of God's Word and how it's the undivided, it can't be denied, the truth of God's Word. Sometimes we can get other brethren putting input into our lives, but it's sometimes mixed with error. Let's read these words. The world has lost the right of prayer, and saints have failed to pray. What loss sustained beyond repair? How blind of heart are they? The Father speaketh in His Word. He talks no other way. And to converse with Him, our Lord, we must take time to pray. There is no trial, grief, or pain, no moment of the day, but that we may, in Jesus' name, incline our souls and pray. Pray in the morning. Pray at the noontime. Pray in the evening. Pray anytime. Pray when you're happy. Pray when in sorrow. Pray when you're tempted. Pray all the time. And as I ponder those words there that the writer had from Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. I wonder sometimes, and it's just me sometimes and the way my mind works, I believe, but I get this picture as I come to these words, and we come to the last part of that second verse, and to converse with Him our Lord, we must take time and pray. And I wonder sometimes if we don't, yes, we pray, we think we pray, or we want to pray, but we don't take time to pray. And as I studied for this message, 9/11 came to mind, and how the churches were all of a sudden full of people praying to the Lord. But they didn't have time for it before. They didn't take time for it before. And so then I look at my own life. And life gets busy. We run here and we run there. We take time to pray before meals. We bow our heads. We say a few words. We have our personal devotions. We have a little time of prayer maybe. But do we take the time to really converse with our Lord? Sometimes maybe we just start, the Lord's trying to converse with us, He wants to, and we just say, oh yeah, sometime later, you know, we push people off sometimes in our world today. Maybe it's our children, they have something they want to share with us, we're so busy with something else, and we push them off, because we have something else that we feel is more important. Brothers and sisters, we can't do that with God. God's looking for a relationship with us. He wants someone close to Him. I've entitled the message this morning, The Christian's Prayer Life. The Christian's Prayer Life. It was in our accountability meeting, I touched on in James chapter 5 and verse 16, and I'll just read that verse again. You don't have to turn to it. But it says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And maybe my mind still stays on this verse. I don't know. I don't want to get it to be somebody that preaches the same thing and just goes on the same process again. But it's something I feel in my own life that I can grow lax on. And so we want to look at the Christian's prayer life. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath. It is what keeps us going in our relationship with the Lord. Luke 11 verse 1 says, the disciples asked, Lord, teach us how to pray. And I believe to this morning, each and every one sitting here, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us where to go and how to do it more. Well, the first point I have in my message is I want to look at what is prayer. And I have taken my concordance and I have looked up the word prayer in the concordance because I wanted to know what the real, when we find the word prayer in the Bible, what does it really mean? And I want to look at what is prayer and the different ways it can be expressed. I'm not good at saying these words, and so I probably won't try to. But the first prayer is oftentimes taken over to from the word P-R-O-S-E-U-C-H-E. And if you look up what that word really means, it means has more the meaning of worship. And so that was a new thought to me. Prayer is worship. We worship God. And when you pray, you worship. Have you ever sung a song prayerfully? I trust you've worshiped this morning. I trust you've been in a spirit of prayer. Now I want to take you and just think about this in your life. Because there's times when I've looked at my life and I said, maybe I didn't pray as often as I ought to. But I want to think about it this way. Maybe we'd use an illustration. So you're out and you're observing nature. And you view nature. And it touches your heart. And you finally get to the point where you just feel this song. There's these words of these song that comes to your mind. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. And you start singing it. You see, that's some of what this worship, that prayer that it's talking about, some in the Bible. You are in a spirit of connection. Your heart is touching in with the Lord. Too often times I think in songs we can sing through them and we miss the meaning of the words. And so we can't call that prayer. We can't call that worship. I'm sorry, I don't feel that way. If somebody can correct me if they feel differently about it. But when you are in tune with the words you're singing and the promise you are making and what you're singing, and there's something wells up in your heart that is a connection with the Lord, you are in the avenue of prayer, your worship. Something happens within us and it starts in the heart and it pours forth. And that's what prayer is. There also is a number of times in the Bible that it goes on and uses the same root word, but it has on the end of it, it has L-M-A-I on it. And that word is more the meaning of supplication. In other words, that means to ask or to beg for something earnestly and humbly. Do we do that in prayer sometimes? We sure do. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. We could read a bunch here. We know the story well. It is Jesus as he is facing the cross. And he's in prayer. And he calls his disciples to prayer, but they fall asleep. But Jesus, knowing what was before him, was in such agony in verse 44, Luke chapter 22, verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I've never prayed that way. I've never got to that. But he prayed. He was in such earnest desired that this cup would pass from him and he wouldn't have to go through it. And he's asking and he's begging for the Lord to remove it from him. Lord's Father said, "Son, you need to go through that." And he went through that for you and for I. The question I have as I ponder that this morning, have you and I come to Gethsemane? Jesus finally came to the place where he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." We must have that in our prayer life. Finally, it's not our will. It's not just, we can plead, we can ask, and we can beg for something earnestly and humbly. But finally, it's not our will. It's what the Lord wants. But he wants you to bring it to him. He wants you to come to him with your needs and petitions. It tells the Lord, "Here is my desires. Here's what I want." But it's what you want. You see the greater picture. You see the big picture. You know everything. You're the great God that sees everything. Just do what is best. The second point of the message. I'd like to look at the importance of prayer. The importance of prayer. And as I came in this morning, I felt like as I studied for this, it's such a big subject. Where do you go with it? And so I told Brother Delbert, I said, "You're going to probably close." I said, "If there's more that I'm missing, that feel free to share it, because I know there's some I'm missing." The same goes for you in your testimony time. Feel free to add to what the Lord lays to you. But the importance of prayer, as I ponder this point of it, there was a verse over in Exodus 14, and let's turn to that. Exodus chapter 14 that stood out to me. Before we go into this passage, I want to look at one other importance of prayer. Remember, we said prayer is our communication with God. God is looking for a connection with man. He did his part. He's reaching out. He's given us truth. He reaches out to us and he wants all men to be saved. He sent Jesus. But the importance of prayer is that it makes a connection back to God. God has done everything. He's reaching out. And we have the choice, brothers and sisters, to just look away and say, live for self. We don't take God and we don't turn back to God. And I want you to just think with me this morning. God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Adam, man and woman, and placed them in the Garden of Eden. For what? For the relationship. For connection with them. God came down in that Garden of Eden and he communed with Adam and Eve. He enjoyed that fellowship. He enjoyed that relationship with them. And he today still wants the same from you and I. It's no different. And that is that connection's made through prayer. And so that's why prayer is so important. But we come into Exodus 14 and we have Moses. Children of Israel, They have just come out of Egypt. They are facing a trial in life. The Egyptian army is behind them. The rivers before them. It looked like an insurmountable problem. There is no way we're going to get out of here. And I'd like to take us to verse 13. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, the people were so scared. They were not sure. They thought their end was come. They're going back into bondage. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye will see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So we have this insurmountable problem. It's felt like to people. And Moses in his faith stood up and says, it's not without hope. There's somebody else. There's somebody big that I serve that has all the answers. He's led us thus far. He's not going to leave us go. Just told the people, stand still. And I see Moses doing the same thing. He's standing still and he's calling out to God. Let's read verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Do you see God calling Moses? And he's saying, you're praying, you're trying to seek my face, and you're waiting for me to work. But get to it and work. The Egyptians were behind the rivers before. And in verse 15, he's just like saying, why criest thou to me, Moses? Why are you praying to me? Why are you just talking to me? Do what you can. Sometimes the easiest thing is just to get on your knees and pray for a problem. Instead of going out and getting your hands dirty and striving to help fix the problem. Understand what I'm saying? God is saying to Moses, do, get out, move forward. I've found in my own life, we can just, yes, we need to pray. That's where we need to go. But can we do the work that God calls us to? We are the servants of God. We are the ones that are called to be His little Christ here on this earth, and He wants you to work for Him. Moses had just commanded the children of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I think that too often today we can see a problem in front of us and we just say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let's see what the Lord works out. Instead of going out and finding what God would have for us. God is not just looking for us to pray and to stand back and watch Him work. He desires that He can work through you and I. We see what needs to happen though for prayer life. And I'm not tearing down Moses here because he had it. And we need it today as we come to the importance of prayer and what it means to us. As Moses was faced with a problem, he needed to look in faith to God. The famous Brenton fisherman's prayer. O God, thy sea is so great and my boat is so small. What made that famous? In 1963, Admiral Rickover gave a plaque with a saying onto John F. Kennedy. And John F. Kennedy, as he was in office, had it placed on his desk, sitting there on his desk. As he led the nation, I believe he had that prayer in his mind. O God, thy sea is so great and my boat is so small. You ever feel that in life? Where the problems, the trials seem so great or so small and insignificant. What can we do? Well, we need the faith like Moses had to realize that we serve a great God, a God that has all power, and He can do amazing things. Think of that verse we read in James 5:15 there, that the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the power that is there in prayer. Can we apply it to our lives? We could also think about the disciples. I was going to write that reference down, and I can't pull it up right now. I believe it's in Luke, the one I wanted, but it's fine. I will just mention it. Think of the disciples. They're rowing across, and this storm comes up. It's a trial in their life. They think they're going to the bottom. This boat is going down. It has such big waves. There is no way we're going to make it. And they finally come out to the Lord, come back to Jesus, and they cry out in desperation, "Lord, save us!" And Jesus gets up and He stills the storm. He calms the water. We, in faith, we can have realize that we serve a Lord like that, a God like that. In the trials, in the storms, He calls us to move forward, to do what we can. He calls us to reach out in faith. But then remember, He is all powerful. We today have the Holy Spirit living within us. Are we letting Him work in our lives? I'm afraid too often we get fearful because we have such little faith in His presence in our life. The Holy Spirit lives within us. Do we avail ourselves to that power? Or do we get fearful of the trials that come about us? It's important for prayer life. The third part of the message here, I'd like to look at, is the hindered prayer life. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading at verse 7, and the last part of verse 7 is where I've kind of got this point from, and we want to read on down to verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge," and that's with our wives. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Why? That your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be of all of one mind, having compassion one to another. Lovers, brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." In this verse here, in this verse, I believe we have a couple of things that'll hinder prayer life that we want to try to open up and to expound on this morning. Have you ever in your life felt like your prayers went unnoticed? Have you ever felt like you didn't have that connection with the Lord?
I have, brother, sisters.
God forbid that we would do that, because there might be sin in our lives. That is what hinders prayer life. It's one of the things. Sin in our lives. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you have sin in your life, if you are serving self, well, there's many sins. And we're not going to take the time to expound on all of them. We're going to try to look at a few of them. But you know what's sin? Sin is anything that's contrary to what God's Word shares and says. If you have sin in your life, you can be assured that your prayers are not heard. It says in verse 12 that His ears are open to their prayers, but if we have sin in our lives, He's against us. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He turns away. Kind of like we can today do for God. We turn away. He's doing so much for us, and we just turn away. We don't even want to talk to Him. God forbid that we get so busy that we don't have time. Verse 7, as we think of the husband and wife, I see humility here. We see self-sacrifice that has to happen in the marriage relationship. We see honor that's to go for the wife. Honor in the fact of even, and also in the fact of that we are together equal partners of God's grace in our lives. If the husband don't recognize the equality of God's grace, that somehow he's up here, she's down here, prayers will be hindered. Well, what's the opposite of humility? Well, it's pride. It's living for self. Brothers and sisters, if we have that in our lives, pride, living for self, not living for the other in a marriage relationship, we can expect our prayers to be hindered. It's a subtle thing that can creep in there. I've thought about it now and again. I appreciate that we can kneel for prayer. You know, when we were meeting in the Lodi building, that was one thing I missed. In humility, it's a sign of humility, humbling ourselves before the Lord. But we can, brothers and sisters, be kneeling for prayer and be standing up inside and living for self and not be humble. God help us to not do that. Hindrance to prayer. Verse 8 and 9. Strife. Hindrance to prayer. Strife in the brotherhood. You know, when we're not all the same mind, when we are all trying to pull different directions, we don't have compassion one to another. There's no love as brethren. We're not pitiful to one another. We're not courteous to one another. Start to lash out. You can rest assured your prayers will be hindered. Verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Hindered prayer life is when we are strife within the brotherhood. Now I'd like to turn to Isaiah 59. There's many other passages I could have turned to, but these two really stood out to me, and I want to just share these two as I ponder it. Isaiah 59. Verse 1 to 3, I'd like to read those. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But God's saying to Isaiah, tell the children of Israel and Judah, the Lord is the same. He's the same Lord that was there before. He's not slacked. He has not changed. But there's something wrong. And in verse 2, but your iniquities has separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. And we could go on and read. There's much there. It again in this verse highlights, in verse 2, it highlights sin in your life. Sin in your life that will bar you from having a communion with God and a closeness with God. And if you're struggling with the closeness with God, let's evaluate our lives. Have I reached out to Him? Is there something in my life that is not right? Have I spoken lies? Am I telling the truth to myself in my heart? Am I telling the truth to those I meet? Am I living a lie? Where are we at? Children of Israel had to look at it, and children of Judah had to look at it and realize that that's why they were where they were in their relationship with the Lord. That's why the Lord seemed so far from them, because he was far, because he's turned away from them in their connection with him. They have deliberately themselves made the choice to be separate from him and to live lives that are with sin in it, and to put a distance between. Matthew 6, there's another one there. As we come into the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, there's another aspect I'd like to look at as we think of hindrance to prayer life. And we wouldn't have had to turn to this, but I think we have some time here. Let's turn to that. It's actually verse 14 is the one I wanted. In the Lord's Prayer. But let's read some verses here. Verse 9 is where the start of the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Hindrance to prayer life. When God seems far away, we need to check our lives for forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do we want God to forgive us? Do we want God to wash us clean? Do we want Him to wash our sins away? He forgives us so much. But it's conditional onto how we forgive those that wrong us. We can be assured if we harbor unforgiveness in our lives, we will have hindrance to our prayer life and we will distance ourselves from the Lord. One closing thought. And as in my studies, I was challenged with it, and I'm going to share this. I mean, I don't want to derail, because it's still about prayer life. Do you love to pray? It was a challenge to me. Do you love to pray? Think about that parable of the two men that went to the temple to pray. I believe that the Pharisee enjoyed praying, but it was for the wrong motives. I believe if you look at what he prayed, the pride that was in his life, the arrogance. And possibly, if you read Jesus and his writings to the Pharisees, the sin that was in his life. And he stood in that temple and prayed, and he lifted himself so much up. And God, I thank you. And he had such a glorious, glowing prayer. The words sounded probably just about right. He loved to pray. But it was all wrong. The Pharisee was over there, or the publican was over there, and he just smote on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it says this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Which one do you think in the end loved to pray? I'm talking about which one do you think had that connection that when he went down to his house and was justified, I think he knew he had a connection with the Lord. It wasn't just a pretense. It wasn't just something hidden. It wasn't just something that was said just right. But he had a connection. Let's remember, brothers and sisters, we said the Lord is looking for you to have a connection with Him. And your prayer life is that connection that you can make with the Lord. He wants a relationship. That relationship that was broken in the Garden of Eden, He wants it with you and I. I know, sometimes when you're a young person, sometimes when you're an older person, you get to a prayer service and you get a little shaky about praying in front of people. I want to challenge you young people and us older ones. Do we get too worried in our prayer life, in public praying, what others are going to think about what we share? Or do we have that connection with the Lord that it don't matter who hears us? We're willing to say the words, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and to mean it sincerely from the heart. Let's not underestimate the power of God in prayer. One closing thought I want to leave with us as well. May God find us faithful in our prayer life. May God find us doing it, having a connection with Him, reaching out in faith, forsaking anything that's going to hinder our prayer life, and walking with Him. May God bless us. Let's kneel for prayer.